Joe Biden is president-elect here in Illinois. It was the Republicans who walked away from Election Day with a smile on their faces. They defeated the graduated income tax proposal, knocked off an Illinois Supreme Court justice, and picked up two or three seats in the Illinois House. State Representative Dan Calkins is a Republican who represents parts of McLean County, including Leroy, Downs, and Hayworth. He speaks with Ryan Denham about why his party did so well.
President Trump brought a new constituency to the Republican Party. And we're talking about working people, blue-collar working people that the Democrats have abandoned, have taken for granted. I think we've seen minorities have come out to vote for the president all across the country in record proportions. So I think that had something to do with it. We also had some very, very good candidates.
One last political kind of question for you. A governor's race in 2022, Senator Duckworth's seat is up in 2022 as well, I believe. What sort of bench do the Republicans have in terms of candidates who can win statewide? Does anybody come to mind for you as kind of a personal favorite?
I think Governor Pritzker has created an opening, just like Governor Quinn did, and that his style, his approach to governing has really created an opening for an opponent. I don't know that he will be primaried. If I were, a Democrat political strategist, I'd be looking to primary the guy. The problem that the Democrats have is that they hired him because he has $3 billion net worth. I mean, that's the only reason they went after him, because that he could self-fund and he could outspend Bruce Rauner.
Graduated income tax proposal was one of the things on the ballot this fall, got defeated. Those who were opposed to it made a lot of different arguments against it. One of them being, this is going to lead to potentially higher income taxes for not just the wealthiest Illinoisans, but eventually middle-class Illinoisans as well. However, with its defeat and the budget situation that the state is in, do you think that you've sort of accidentally just increased the odds of a kind of across-the-board income tax increase anyway, now that you've sort of forced the governor's hand on that?
We may have sped it up. I mean, you answered the first part of the question. It was coming. But they left the door open for a tremendous amount of criticism, because the majority of people weren't going to get a tax cut. The people that were getting a tax cut, it was like $60 a year. And they already raised their gas tax 19 cents a gallon. So that $60 a year isn't going to go in, $5 a month isn't going into anyone's pocket. And so they were just too, I think they played too cute. They also refused to earmark any increase in income tax for a specific purpose: paying pensions, reducing the debt, and it left an opening for the opponents to attack them for not earmarking that money.
Well, the governor in the last week has said that, now that the graduated income tax has been defeated, that there are going to be some pretty painful cuts coming down the pike here. Are you concerned about what that could mean for your school districts in your district, social service agencies in your district, those types of folks?
Yes, certainly I am. But what this is going to do is bring us back to the table.
Are you saying that then the defeat of the graduated income tax proposal will sort of force Democrats to, next time the budget is negotiated, return in a different...
We're going to have to come back sometime this year. This budget goes through the end of June. We're going to have to come back sometime this year and make some serious adjustments to this budget. Had we done that last May, had we had this conversation, had we been real, and had the Democrats admitted that the economic downturn was here, and we knew that in May. Hell, the state had been locked down for 30 days, March, and you saw businesses close, the revenue wasn't coming in, the cities were crying, counties were crying, that their revenue streams were interrupted. And the state of Illinois, we saw the bills stack up, but we didn't see the money coming. We knew it all in May. And they still passed a budget for this year
I want to talk a little bit about COVID mitigations. So as of last Wednesday, I think the entire state was under this latest iteration of mitigation where no indoor dining, no indoor bar service, gatherings of certain sizes. I know you have expressed concern about this type of restriction in the past. I think most recently on Facebook, you put something out that said, you know, the science does not support these types of extreme job-killing, business-closing measures. And what do you base that?
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly what I said, but let's talk about two things. There's just a two-prong attack for me. First of all, the governor had 30 days to mitigate and prepare our state for this. And that's what the emergency declaration is for. It's not to give the governor unlimited power. That's been tested in court in Clay County by Representative, now Senator-elect Darren Bailey. The governor has used every loophole, every excuse, everything that he can do not to get this heard. All of these cases, rather than stand up in court and make your case in court that what you're doing is legal, they have tried to skirt this and delay that and move this case and do that, number one. Number two, my brother and I own an assisted living facility in DuPage County. The tests that are being conducted in long-term care facilities, and if it's the same tests in other places, they're the accuracy. What is the, and this is what we keep asking the governor. Where is your science? What's the accuracy? We're not sure that these tests are accurate.
So, I mean, 5,200 people from long-term care facilities have died.
Correct.
So you're not sure that?
No. I'm not discounting the fact that COVID is serious. I mean, my brother was in the hospital for 6 days with COVID. His wife had pneumonia from COVID. His wife's daughter had COVID and was off work. And they run our facility up in West Chicago. He was in the hospital for 6 days with it. I don't discount the seriousness of it. But what I'm saying is that it's, where are people getting infected? And by IDPH's own secret study, hidden, they've kept this study hidden. And the only reason it got out is that a health agency accidentally disclosed it in a FOIA. By their own admission, restaurants and bars are like the fifth or sixth place you're most likely to come in contact with COVID. And yet we punish them.
To speak to your point about the secret tracing data, yeah, that's the data that came out, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. Midwest Center for Investigative Reporting tracked like 3,000 outbreaks and about 43,000, you know, people getting sick. And as you said, a small percentage of those traced to bars and restaurants. You know, but that's only 43,000 cases. That's like less than 10% of all cases. It's not like you go to Portillo's, they're keeping a list of who comes in, right? So contact tracing in a restaurant and bar setting is not exactly easy. So is it really fair to look at that small subset of data as proof when there is some pretty compelling science that suggests bars and restaurants are a problem?
The only people that get tested in Macon and Piatt and DeWitt County, okay, are people that either have come in contact with a COVID or have symptoms of COVID, period. That's it. So if you're only testing people who have come in contact with someone with COVID or have some symptoms that they want to see if it is COVID, what are you going to find? You're going to find COVID patients. So the governor uses that number, the number of people tested and the positivity rate in that number, to make a decision to destroy the lives and the livelihoods of the small business community in Illinois.
If your argument is correct that the science does not support this type of action on bars and restaurants, why would the Pritzker administration do this? It certainly isn't helping him politically. It pisses everyone off. I mean, what other motivation is there other than they think this is legitimately the best way to go on the science side?
Because they have to do something. They have to show that we're doing something to try to control the spread. And the easiest and the quickest place to go is after bars and restaurants, churches. I mean, you go after these soft targets.
So you're from Decatur in Macon County, and I mean, you've had over 4,000 cases there, almost 70 deaths. So if not this, then what? How do we slow down something that appears to not be slowing down right now?
leadership rather than bullying, leading, helping, providing the necessary testing, and encouraging people to do the right thing rather than trying to beat them with a stick. What's the old saying? The beatings will continue until the morale improves. You know, the governor has lost the confidence of the citizenry.
That's State Representative Dan Calkins, a Republican from Decatur, speaking with Ryan Denham.